We welcome you to Srila Prabhupada's home, Sri Vrindavan Dham. I'm very much grateful to all of you for being here and for allowing me this opportunity to make some effort to serve you in the holy land of Sri Brajbhumi. I'd like to begin this yatra by offering my obeisances to my dear god brother Srila Jaipatak Swami Maharaj. A few days back, by the inconceivable arrangement of the Lord, he was struck by a massive stroke, in critical condition. The doctor, a neurologist who's one of the best in India, he told us that there was a very, very high risk for his very survival. In fact, that doctor confidentially told one of his colleagues that he did not, according to the medical books, there was hardly 1% chance that he could live through such a stroke. When that news reached the ears of a few devotees, obviously we became unspeakably despondent. I called one Dr. Alwa. Many of you may know him. He's one of the best doctors. He treats all our brahmacharis for free. And every weekend he goes to a holy place and prays to the Lord. I told him to speak, to hear what that doctor had said. And Dr. Awa told me, according to the medical books, there is hardly 1% chance of his survival. But his experience is devotees are not always under the authority of medical books. He told me, in your own temple this year, Raghupati had a massive heart attack. The doctor said there's no hope, and he died. His heart stopped completely. For how long? About a minute. And they were pumping him, and nothing happened. They stopped. The meter was like this. They declared him dead, and then the meter went like this. That was just last year. And now he's dancing in kirtan. Like this. And Dr. Awa told me Nitya Krishna Prabhu, one of our congregational devotees, a counselor, a dental surgeon. He had something like a stroke and he was in a coma for almost 1 month. He was in a coma. I was in Los Angeles and I spoke on the phone to his daughter, Swetha Manjari Devi. And I said, when you go to your father, please tell him that he cannot die because I need some dental work done by him. He was in a coma for about a month. And she said those words to him, and he smiled. And now he's quite fine. He's here for the yatra, somewhere. So the conclusion is that Srila Jayapatak Maharaj is completely in the hands of Srila Prabhupada, Sri Panchatattva, and Sri Sri Radha Madhava. And they are now deciding where they want him to serve. And all we can do is pray. I remember sometimes when Srila Prabhupada would become very ill, the devotees asked, how should we pray? And Prabhupada, he allowed us to do 24-hour kirtan and pray, my dear Lord Krishna, if it is your desire, please allow Srila Prabhupada to remain with us. Since Jayapatak Maharaj was lovingly stroked by the Lord, there has been 24-hour kirtans in temples all over the world. And thousands of devotees offering their heartfelt prayers. Just a couple days ago, I was in Bombay at his bedside chanting Hare Krishna for him. And I was thinking, perhaps I should not come for this yatra. When my godbrother, very senior godbrother, such a dear associate of Srila Prabhupada, is in such critical condition, and all of his loving disciples, well-wishers and friends are cast into an ocean of sorrow and prayer, is it proper to go to Vrindavan and have a wonderful festival? Srila Prabhupada taught us by his words and by his example that the first and foremost consideration in whatever we do is how I could best serve. So I was thinking, being close to him in Bombay, offering some prayers. That's all I could do. Even the doctors, there's not much they could do. The place in his brain where there was hemorrhaging is the most critical, dangerous part of the brain. The brain stem, where all the organs of the body are connected to. You cannot do surgery there. All you could do is just give medication and let nature take its course. The doctor himself said, there's so little we could do. It's in the hands of God. So since it is in the hands of God, and Krishna certainly hears the prayers of his sincere devotees, Srimati Radharani hears our every prayer when it is offered with sincerity. Especially in their eternal, most intimate abode of Vrindavan, and especially in the month of Kartik. So perhaps the best service I could personally do for Srila Jaipathak Swami Maharaj is to come to Vrindavan. We're in our yatra. There are 4,000 devotees assembled. And every day, in all of these holy places, inspire all of you to pray from the core of our hearts. Dear Srila Prabhupada, dear Sri Radha Shyam Sundar, if it is your desire, please bring our beloved Jaipathak Swami Maharaj back to us. Let us take a moment to offer this prayer. Today I spoke with Madhavananda Prabhu and Dr. Alwa. And they told me that although Maharaj is still in very critical condition, even the doctors and nurses cannot believe what's happening. Yesterday, Revati Raman Prabhu of Tirupati was sitting and chanting for him, and he said, devotees all over the world are praying for you. And for the first time, he opened his eyes. And today when he was asked to move, he moved all of his limbs. And for the first time, his blood pressure and his blood count, which was very dangerous, became stable. So he is still very critical. But even at this stage, it's miraculous that he's actually showing signs of improvement. Yes, Sri Radha Shyam Sundar, they will decide where they want this beloved Vaishnava to serve. Pinachi Prabhu, who happens to be somewhere in this sea of devotees, loves to tell the story. In 1971, Srila Prabhupada, with Malati Prabhu, who is also here, came to his house. And Prabhupada told Srinathji Prabhu's father, who happened to be a member of parliament, that I want you to make this boy, Jaipatak Maharaj, an Indian citizen. And then Prabhupada said, he is an eternal associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Those are Srila Prabhupada's words, quote unquote. So we are dedicating this yatra as a prayer to him. And it is an inconceivable arrangement, because what pleases Krishna more than sincerely expressing our love for his devotees? Vrindavan, the spiritual world, is a family. Everyone is related. Everyone is united in their love for Krishna. All disputes, all disagreements, and if we read the books of the Goswamis or Srila Prabhupada, there are many such disagreements and disputes in Goloka Vrindavan. There's wrestling, there's arguments. Yes? Balaram and cowherd boys tell Yashoda Mai, Krishna ate dirt. Krishna said, they are liars, I never ate dirt. Chandravali, Padma, and her gopis are always in some sort of competition with Srimati Radharani and her gopis. Jatila, Kutila in Javach, you know the stories. So there are disagreements, but all of those disagreements bring each other's hearts more intimately close, because they are all inconceivably unified with intimacy in the will to please Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explained transcendental competition. In this material world, competition is often plagued with envy or selfish ambition. But in the spiritual world, even competition, there is no envy, because there is no false ego. Everyone is perfectly united, both in agreements and disagreements, on the higher principle of giving satisfaction to Sri Siddhartha and Shamsundar. Srila Prabhupada gave us a very difficult order to follow. He said, you can show your love for me by how you cooperate with one another. In the age of Kali, the age of quarrel and hypocrisy, there's hardly anything more difficult than cooperation. We have seen cooperation go on for days, months, years. But when something comes in between, it can create havoc. Like that. So many reasons, so many excuses, so many justifications to fight, to become envious, to disunite. But there's one reason that we will remain united, despite all of our differences in personalities and conditionings and opinions. And that is, Prabhupada said, that is how we can show our love for him. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado yasya prasada nagati kutopi. If one pleases Guru, Krishna is pleased. But without pleasing Guru, we have no power. With all of our creative imagination and all of our skills, Even if we become very popular and the whole world agrees with us, if we do not please Guru, we cannot please Krishna. So to feel from our heart for another devotee, is to become very dear to Krishna. In Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, there are many examples of this. During the Mahaprakash Leela, Lord Chaitanya was giving every devotee whatever benediction they wanted. And what were those benedictions? They were not asking for good grades in their exams. They were not asking for some economic stability. To Murari Gupta, he showed his eternal form of Sri Ramchandra. To Kolavecha Sridhar, he showed his form of Krishna Balaram. To Haridas Thakur, he granted all of his desires and revealed his opulences as Krishna. He was showing everyone their eternal identity in the spiritual world and fulfilling all their desires eternally. What happiness! And Srivas said, when are you going to call Mukundadat? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that hypocrite, I never want to see his face ever again. Because he had been associating with Mayavadis. He said, when he's with Vaishnavas, he hears Harikatha very nicely, does kirtan, but when he's with Mayavadis, he hears that Krishna has no hands, no legs, no personality, everything is Maya. It is like his way of worshiping the Lord is like approaching a Brahmin and touching their feet in great respect and then beating him on the head with a club. No, I will not see him. Despite all the devotees getting their own personal desires fulfilled, there was no happiness. Everyone was only concerned with Mukunda. Mukunda was weeping. He couldn't show his face for the Lord. He was crying out, will I ever see him again? Will I ever? And the devotees were crying, begging. This is Vaishnav family. Paradukaduki. Another's suffering is our suffering. Another's happiness is our happiness. If you were to see Krishna's eternal form and get the benediction to live in his abode eternally, both in this life and after this life, would you be weeping? Would your heart be pained to see another devotee suffering? If you would, then you are in the line of the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How they loved each other, how they cared for each other, not just as formalities, but from their hearts. In the Rasa Leela, when Srimati Radharani took Krishna away, all gopis were feeling, who is this gopi? The greatest of all gopis, who worships Krishna better than all of us. But then when Krishna left her and they found her in the forest of Vrindavan, how they all lamented for her sorrow. In the spiritual world, in the material world, this is the culture of devotees. This is what pleases Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said that he had shed buckets of blood to bring every single devotee to this movement. Buckets of blood. When you get a blood test and they just take one syringe of blood, you know what it feels like. What sacrifice? He said that in those words just to impress upon us how important each and every devotee is to him. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had tens and thousands of followers. But when one fell into Maya and left, he cried. He cried and told his disciples, I was not able to save him. This is the way the great souls feel. Someone like Srila Jayapathak Swami Maharaj, he came to Krishna consciousness when he was 19 years old. He explained, he came to the San Francisco temple. He saw a sign advertising the Rath Yatra. And he said everyone was eating prasad. They were so absorbed in eating prasad, they didn't even notice his existence. He was thinking, these people are really into eating. And then he met one devotee, and that devotee said, you can have prasad too, but you have to pay some money. He was really interested in the money. So he gave him some money. Then he was leaving, and another devotee, he said, can you help me? He said, you hold these nails, and I'll hammer the nails. So he was holding the nails, and this person was hammering the nails, and Jagvatak Maharaj was holding the nails. And this devotee said, "You are very expert at holding nails." And the whole time, the whole day, he was pounding nails and talking about Srila Prabhupada with so much love. And Jayapatak Maharaj just wanted to meet this person. And that devotee just pounding nails was talking about Prabhupada hour after hour after hour with such enthusiasm, with such love. That devotee was Jayananda Prabhu. So, Prabhupada was in Montreal. And some devotees were going there to see Prabhupada. Jayapatak Maharaj really wanted to go. Even got someone to sponsor money. And he asked the president, and the president said, "No, you cannot go." So Jayapatak Maharaj said, "Well, I have money. If I give you money for a ticket, will you go?" He said, "If you give me money for a ticket, I will go." So Maharaj said, "Well, if he would go, then I should go too." So he went. And he saw Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada, the first time he looked at him, he pointed to him. He said, "You come and take lunch with me." And a couple days later, he gave him initiation. He was 19. And a few days later, he said, "I want you to be the temple president of this temple." Then he called him to India. He was in Calcutta, sitting with Srila Prabhupada, with a devotee from 26 Second Avenue, Achyutananda. And Prabhupada said, "I want to give both of you sannyas. You will take sannyas." So he said, "All right, I'll take sannyas." He was 21 years old. Srila Prabhupada gave him sannyas and entrusted him with immense responsibilities. He travels around the world, inspiring and enlivening devotees, very much at the risk of his own health. And now, he is in this condition, physically between life and death. And we are given the honor and the opportunity to purify our own hearts by praying for him in this holiest of all holy places, Sri Vrindavan. Our great acharyas explain how beyond this material existence is the Brahma Jyoti, the spiritual sky. And within that spiritual sky, there are unlimited spiritual planets called Vaikuntha, where the personality of Godhead eternally reciprocates with the love of his devotees. But the highest of all the spiritual planets, where the Lord gives opportunity for the most intimate, pleasurable pastimes of spiritual love, is Krishna Loka. In Krishna Loka, there is Mathura, Dwarka, and Vrindavan. In Mathura and Dwaraka, the Lord is worshipped intimately. But that loving service is colored with Aishwarya, or recognition of the supremacy of Krishna as the absolute truth. The supreme king of all kings. Where everyone recognizes that they are his servants forever. And worship him in kingly majesty. But in Vrindavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his internal spiritual potency, covers the devotees' hearts from recognizing his supreme position. And they love him simply because he's Krishna. As a friend, as a parent, or as a lover. Once in a day of Brahma, Krishna descends into this world. But what pleasure would there be for him to come without his own Ladini Shakti, his pleasure potency, Srimati Radharani? So our acharyas explain how the Lord expressed to Sri Radharani his plan to descend into the material world in his original form of Shamsundar. And he wished for her to come as well. She said, but there will be no happiness descending into the material world unless along with us comes the Yamuna, Sri Giri Govardhan, and the Vrindavan forest. The Lord told her, they have already descended. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that there is no difference between the Goloka Vrindavan in this spiritual world and Gokul in this material world. For approximately 10 years and 7 months, Krishna performed his pastimes here in the forests of Vrindavan. That is the Prakata Lila. But when he went to Mathura and then to Dwarka and then left this universe, Srila Prabhupada explains that Krishna never, ever, ever takes a single step out of Vrindavan. It is the Aprakata Lila. Sri Vrindavan Dham is the Lord's eternal home. It is not subjected to any of the limitations of material existence. For those who have the eyes to see, premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena, by the grace of the Lord, by the grace of Sri Radharani, one can see the pastimes of Vrindavan even today. the thin layer of covering that we see with these earthly eyes should not be taken seriously. When we come to Vrindavan, we see so many apparent differences from what we read in Srimad Bhagavatam. We read about how Yamuna was flowing, is flowing, so wide, so pure, with blue waters. Filled with lotus flowers. To our eyes, Yamuna does not look like that. And the forests, filled with deers and with peacocks and fragrant flowers and humming bees. Now we see billboards everywhere, hoardings with advertisements for katas. And shops and buildings and guest house and hotels and hogs and open sewage canals and traffic and honking horns and all kinds of shops with people bargaining. That's not what we read in Srimad Bhagavatam. Is this the same place? Even when I first came to Vrindavan in 1971, this area of Ramanreti was like a forest. Now it's almost like a city. These are tests. We are taught that we cannot see with our fleshly eyes. We have to understand Vrindavan through our faith. By hearing from the words of the scriptures and the great souls. By having faith in those words, we can penetrate through the apparent duality. And understand what is the truth. This covering is only an illusion. But Vrindavan is the eternal abode of Krishna. It is Chintamani Dham. Every grain of dust is more valuable, more precious than all the wealth in the heavenly worlds, all the wealth in Vaikuntha. In Jagannath Puri, there was the Hara Panchami festival. Therein, Lakshmi was very angry with Lord Jagannath because she was living in the Vrindavan gardens of Gundicha for so many days. So her servants come to chastise Jagannath. And Lord Chaitanya and his associates were performing this leela together. And therein, Srivas Thakur, he began to defend the position of Lakshmi. That my goddess Lakshmi, she is the queen of Vaikuntha, the abode of all opulence. In comparison, What is there in Vrindavan? Why? Why would Krishna leave Vaikuntha for Vrindavan? All that I see in Vrindavan is some leaves, some trees, some peacock feathers, a plant called Gunja, some cows, and there are some gopis. They're milking cows, and they're churning that milk. But in Vaikuntha, Lakshmi is sitting on the splendid bejeweled throne. What is the comparison? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he laughed and he said, Srivas, you are being affected by the Lord's opulences. You seem to be in the mood of Narada Muni. But Swarup Damodar Goswami, he's a very simple devotee. He doesn't know anything about these opulences of the Lord. All he knows is pure unalloyed devotional service. And Swarup Damodar Goswami explained, what is Vrindavan? Every grain of dust is infinitely more precious than all the wealth in all the Vaikuntha planets. It is strewn with precious jewels and the Chintamani, wish-fulfilling jewel, is decorating the feet of all the maidservants of the gopis. In Vrindavan, every tree, every creeper is a kalpa vriksha. It can fulfill all one's innermost heart's desires. And the Brijabasis, they want absolutely nothing else except the fruits of those trees. And in the vast pasture grounds, there are unlimited cows. Every cow is a kamadenu that gives unlimited ambrosial milk. And every cow can fulfill each of one's most heartfelt desires. And the residents of Vrindavan want absolutely nothing else but to drink that milk. Vrindavan, a place where all sound is singing, all motion is dancing, all water is nectar. And Krishna is constantly satisfying everyone's hearts by playing upon his flute. Srivas, you have forgotten the unlimited excellences of Vrindavan. The opulence of Vrindavan is like a vast unlimited ocean in comparison. The pleasure of living in Dwarka with Vaikuntha is not even a single drop. Hearing these words, Srivas Thakur smiled and went into ecstasy, dancing, dancing, and dancing. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the glories of Vrindavan from Swarup Damodar Goswami and saw the reaction of Srivas Thakur, he began to chant the holy names and dance. And right before devotees' eyes, Lord Chaitanya, while in Jagannath Puri, could not contain his emotions and he assumed the form of Srimati Radharani. Nityananda Prabhu from a distance offered his obeisances. As the Lord danced, and all the assembled devotees loudly chanted the holy name. No one could stop that kirtan. It went on for hour after hour after hour. Finally, Swarup Damodar Goswami informed Lord Chaitanya that the devotees are really fatigued. Please stop. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came into his external consciousness. Lord Chaitanya, on the banks of the Godavari, when he was on his South Indian tour, he saw the Godavari River to be the Yamuna, and he saw the forests along the banks to be Vrindavan. And he was feeling great transcendental pleasure. It was there that he met Sri Ramananda Rai, and that historical conversation took place, wherein Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, "What is the essence of all perfection?" Ramananda Rai replied, "By explaining, one can attain that perfection of love for Krishna by performing one's prescribed duties according to Varnashram." Lord Chaitanya said, "That is external. Tell me more." In this way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu extracted from Ramananda Rai systematically, step by step, the different stages of spiritual perfection and how to achieve them. Ultimately, he brought Ramananda Rai to pure unalloyed devotional service in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. It was only then that he was satisfied. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami describes the great journey of Narada Muni, his search to understand who is the most fortunate and dear to the Lord. And ultimately that culminated in the love of the gopis in Vrindavan. Our beloved Srila Prabhupada, he has come, traveled around the world 13 times to awaken within our hearts that essence of all perfections. The love of Vrindavan. Unconditional, unmotivated devotional service. Narottam Das Thakur, he wanted to teach us we cannot take Vrindavan cheaply. It's not a place to make money. It's not a place for socializing. It's a place for pure unalloyed devotional service. Visha yacha diya kabe sudaha bimana kabe hama herobo Sri Vrindavan. When will I see beyond the hogs and the monkeys and all the traffic and everything else going on here? When will I see Vrindavan as it is? When will I really connect to the reality of Sri Braj Bhumi? Only when the heart is free of any selfish desire for sense enjoyment. We should not take Vrindavan cheaply. In fact, Srila Prabhupada, he expressed that his glory would be when devotees who are... We should not take Vrindavan cheaply. In fact, Srila Prabhupada, he expressed that his glory would be when devotees who are his followers would come to Vrindavan following in the footsteps of the six Goswamis. Not to make material arrangements. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was living in Puri, there was a dispute with Jagadananda Pandit. Jagadananda Pandit always liked to give Lord Chaitanya opulent things. Sometimes he would bring a big pot of pure sandalwood oil and tell Govinda, massage Lord Chaitanya's body with the sandalwood oil. It took tremendous effort to make that sandalwood oil and to carry it. It's very costly. Lord Chaitanya smelled it. Said, what are you doing, Mukunda? Said, Jagadananda told me to massage you every day with this oil. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I am sannyasi. What will people think if they smell sandalwood oil on me? The fruit of his efforts will be fulfilled when you give this sandalwood oil to be offered to Lord Jagannath in the temple. When this information came to Jagadananda Pandit, he was not happy. Lord Chaitanya met him and he said, that sandalwood oil will be given to Jagannath. Jagadananda said, what sandalwood oil? I never gave you sandalwood oil. Then he picked up the whole pot, broke it on the ground, it all went into the dirt. Hare Krishna. Now Jagadananda Pandit happened to be one of the devotees of Lord Chaitanya who was in conjugal love with Satyabhama in Krishna's Leela, in that mood. During one of the disputes, Jagadananda came to Lord Chaitanya and said, I want to go to Vrindavan. Very, very exalted devotee. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, but if you go to Vrindavan in an angry mood, that will not be good. You are angry with me now. But Jagadananda Pandit insisted, I want to go to Vrindavan. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, when you go to Vrindavan, you should not stay for a long time. You should only go for a short time, and while you are there, you must constantly be in the association of Sanatan Goswami. Srila Prabhupada explains why. In Vrindavan, any activities you perform in Krishna consciousness gets 100 times the benefit of anywhere else in the world. But any offenses you commit has the same reaction 100 times. And the tendency into Vrindavan is to take the Brijavasis or the Vaishnavas to be ordinary. And And then you may get familiar and make offenses. So he told Jagadananda Pandit, don't stay too long. Remain in the association of Sanatana Goswami. Which he did. This is a very powerful instruction. Now Srila Prabhupada, to devotees like Dhananjay Prabhu, Bhav Gopal, Devi Prabhu, Srila Prabhupada told them, stay in Vrindavan. He gave them service. They came to serve with the blessings of their spiritual master. This is very nice. These graduates in electrical engineering who have come from the modern city of Bombay with all of their equipment only to have their pride crushed. But we shouldn't feel bad, because even Lord Indra and Lord Brahma's pride was crushed when they came to Vrindavan. So we should be very careful while we are here in Vrindavan to take every moment very seriously. Never to fall into the illusion that Vrindavan is an ordinary place. The mind and the senses will naturally try to induce us into this illusion. Therefore, when in the holy land of Sri Braja, it is very important that we remain in the association of devotees. And in that association, to be constantly hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, so that our consciousness is always fixed in remembering the spiritual reality of Krishna's eternal pastimes taking place here. Srila Prabhupada explains, you cannot come to Vrindavan simply by purchasing a railway ticket. One can enter into Vrindavan only through the proper consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada uses Akrura as the example. How he came from Mathura to Vrindavan. Kamsa had the intention of killing Krishna and Balaram. He ordered Akrura to come to Vrindavan to bring them here. Although it was a demoniac mission, Akrura had complete faith in Krishna and Balaram that there is no possibility. Hare Krishna. Of Kamsa defeating them. So he took this as an opportunity to see Krishna and Balaram. To see that land of Vrindavan he was constantly hearing stories of. He boarded his chariot, and the whole way here he was meditating in a mood of prayer. feeling himself so fallen and unworthy, remembering Krishna's beautiful pastimes, his heart longing with anticipation to see the Lord, to serve the Lord. And when he first came into Vrindavan, constantly immersed in hearing and chanting and remembering, when he saw the footprints in the dust, he came down from his chariot and rolled in the dust of Sri Brajbhumi. It is this eagerness, this lobha, this transcendental anticipation to hear about, to chant, to remember and to serve the Lord. It is that consciousness that reveals Vrindavan. Ye chatamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. As we surrender to Krishna, Krishna reveals himself accordingly, according to our consciousness. That is how Vrindavan, that is none different than Krishna, will reveal herself to us. While we are here in this holy month of Kartik, the month that is presided by Srimati Radharani, the very goddess of devotion, we can make inconceivable spiritual progress by her grace. Therefore, we should take every moment very, very seriously. Whatever austerities we endure here should be our greatest pleasure. One Vaishnava poet prayed that when a thorn of Brajbhumi sticks into my foot, I feel a pleasure millions of times greater than that of realizing the Supreme Brahman. Once devotees offered their dandavat pranams to Sri Gaura Kishoradas Babaji, and they got up, their entire bodies were covered with dust. They began to rub the dust off. He chastised them. So you are just rubbing that dust off like something ordinary, something unwanted? Lord Brahma, he has personally extolled the glories of this dust. One speck of it is of unlimited value. It can fulfill all one's spiritual desires. Lord Shiva comes to take the dust of Vrindavan upon his head. If we approach Vrindavan in this sense, all of the austerities bring us joy. We should see every moment here as an opportunity to receive the highest mercy. For the purpose of these yatras is not sightseeing, it's purification. And that purification will take place as we absorb ourselves in a mood of service. Selfless service. Selfless service to the Vaishnavas. to one another. And the greatest service we can render is our enthusiasm to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. That enthusiasm is contagious. If you are sleeping during Hari Katha, as many of you are at the moment, then you're spreading the glories of sleep. You're emitting this energy and affecting everyone around you. That this is a good time to sleep. It is a disservice. But if you are enthusiastic, even if it's an austerity, and I know when I speak it's really an austerity, if you are enthusiastic to hear, enthusiastic to chant, enthusiastic to dance, enthusiastic to serve, you are making a powerful statement. You are energizing everyone's heart by your spiritual enthusiasm. That is service. And through that service, we access the mercy of Vrindavan. In the year 1514, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Vrindavan. How he revealed the exalted fortune of being in Vrindavan. When he took initiation from Sri Vishnu Puri in Gaya, that is when he first manifested his eternal love, his Radha Bhava, his devotional ecstasy. In the middle of the night when everyone was sleeping, he ran out of his room to Vrindavan. His heart was fixed. I'm visiting Vrindavan. It was his one and only goal. He was longing, crying to be here in Vrindavan. He was running through the forest. But then celestial voices stopped him. Said, "My Lord, it is very good you want to go to Vrindavan. But you have descended on the earth to establish the Harinam Sankirtan movement in Navadvip Dham for the deliverance of all living beings. Please do that first, then you could come to Vrindavan later. For the sake of delivering all fallen souls, he put aside his own personal desire. He went back to Sri Navadvip Dham. But people took him as an ordinary person. And they were criticizing him, offending him. So he decided, in order to deliver these proud people, I will take sannyas. Then they cannot take me as someone ordinary anymore. He went to Katwa and accepted the renounced order from Sri Keshav Bharati Maharaj. And after receiving the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya, shaving his head, putting on saffron robes, and taking his danda, what was the first thing he did? He cried out, "I will go to Vrindavan." And hurried through the forest to Vrindavan. So eager, when he saw the river Ganga, he thought it was the Yamuna. Nityananda Prabhu understood
If the devotees in Navadvip, Shantipur, they will all die of separation if Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not return. And knowing the innermost heart of hearts of the Lord, Nityananda realized that the Lord's real desire is to give satisfaction to his devotees over his own desire to go to Vrindavan. So Nityananda Prabhu redirected him back to Shantipur. And Satchimata and the Vaishnavas, they all met with the Lord and said, please do not go to Vrindavan now. If you go to Vrindavan, we will never hear from you. But the same Krishna who lives in Vrindavan is residing in Puri as Lord Jagannath. But it is close by. We will hear your pastimes regularly, and from time to time we can come to visit you there. To satisfy his devotees, he made his residence in Puri. Now Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also playing the role of a devotee. This is very significant. To give pleasure to the Vaishnavas was his top priority. A priority even more than fulfilling his own personal desire to reside in Vrindavan. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains how when living in Puri, any time Lord Chaitanya even remembered Vrindavan, the ecstasy of his love increased 100 times. And when he was traveling through Charikanda forest en route to Vrindavan, anticipating arriving finally after so many years, his ecstasies increased 100 times beyond that. And when he came to the district of Mathura, his ecstasies increased 100 times beyond that. And when he was roaming through the 12 forests of Vrindavan, his love increased unlimitedly. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived in Vrindavan on Kartik Purnima. He remained here for 2 months. When he saw the cows and the deers and the peacocks and the trees and the flowers and the creepers, all the residents of Vrindavan in the forest, they looked upon the Lord with such love. They welcomed him home after so many long years of being away. The cows were licking his body to greet him, showing their affection the way they know how. The deers were licking his bodies. The peacocks were dancing for him. The birds were singing for him. The trees were blossoming fragrant, beautiful flowers just to welcome Krishna back home. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled through the 12 forests, totally absorbed in his eternal transcendental pastime. But then after 2 months, he returned to Sri Jagannath Puri. So the Prabhupada explains, Swara Prabhupada Goswami, Gadadhar Pandit, Haridas Thakur, in their lives, they never physically came to Vrindavan.
but they always lived in Vrindavan.
Because Vrindavan is not limited to material geographical considerations. Vrindavan is also a state of heart. When Lord Chaitanya met Advaita Prabhu in Shantipur, Advaita said, "Wherever your lotus feet are, that is Vrindavan." Wherever a devotee is remembering Krishna, wherever a devotee is remembering the Vrindavan pastimes of Krishna in a spirit of unconditional devotional service, and wherever the devotees come together in that spirit to chant the holy names,
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
That is Vrindavan. In 1965, Srila Prabhupada apparently left Vrindavan. But in reality, carrying Vrindavan in his heart, wherever he went into the, wherever he traveled in this world, he made that place Vrindavan. In Puri, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lived in Gambira, and there he revealed the ecstasies of Srimati Radharani's separation from Krishna. When Lord Chaitanya saw Jagannath in the temple, he would see Krishna in his threefold bending form playing his flute. Jagannath Puri, for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, is non-different than Vrindavan. Sri Navadvip Dham is non-different from Vrindavan. And the hearts of a pure devotee is non-different than Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya told Rupa Sanatana Goswami, "I want to be in Vrindavan. I want to reveal the glories of Vrindavan to the whole world. But due to my mother's order, I must remain here in Jagannath Puri. I want you to do, the Lord said, through you, I want to perform my seva in Vrindavan." Sanatana Goswami was traveling through Jarikanda forest. He drank some bad water. Because of that, he became possessed with a horrible disease. His body was covered with rashes. Pus and blood was coming out of it. And it itched miserably. Sanatana Goswami was thinking, "What is the use of this body? This disease will not go away." During the Ratha Yatra, I will throw my body under the wheel of the chariot of Lord Jagannath in the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the Vaishnavas chanting the holy names, and then perhaps I will have a better birth in my next life. This was his conviction. When he arrived in Puri, he stayed at the kutir of Haridas Thakur. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to meet him. Lord Chaitanya wanted to embrace him. Sanatana Goswami says, "No, no, don't touch me. My body is pus and blood. It smells horrible. It's contaminated." But Lord Chaitanya forcibly embraced him. And that pus of blood smeared upon the beautiful golden form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sanatana Goswami had already made his plan, but he did not reveal it to anyone. Lord Chaitanya is situated within everyone's heart. One day he just spoke, "Sanatana, give up this nonsense of your plan. To end your life. You have already surrendered your body to me. What right do you have to destroy another person's property? Suicide is a sinful activity. It cannot be done. And beside that, I need your body. I cannot leave Puri because of my mother's command. Through your body, I want to fulfill my purpose. You will go to Vrindavan. You will write literatures to extract the essence of all Vedic knowledge, which is pure devotional service in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. Through your example, you will reveal Vaishnav etiquette and how to live perfectly in the renounced order of life. Through you, I will discover the lost holy places of Krishna's eternal pastimes and reveal them to the world. And through you, I will discover the ancient deities that have been lost since time immemorial and establish beautiful temples in deity worship. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent the six Goswamis to Vrindavan to perform this work through them. And today, all of you will be going to the temples of the six Goswamis. To take a little break, I will explain how this yatra will work.